Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Well, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 132, and a big hearty hello. Welcome in particular to the ladies of Saints Cosmas and Damian Church in Twinsburg, Ohio. What a lovely group of dames. Oh my goodness, I was there over the weekend, had a chance to speak for a Women's Day of Reflection, and it was fantastic, start to finish. So thank you again to the ladies there. Full house at that church. And that's the way it's been. It's been really busy lately with events, which in some ways is good because it allows me to take you there just a little bit too in a small way. Last week, having a chance to connect with Lisa Hendy from the Catholic Columbus Women's Conference. This week, we're going to talk to Melody Lyons. I'm really excited to bring you into a conversation that we had. She is a wife, a homeschool mom of eight, and was a featured speaker with the theme of parenting without fear. And boy, is that a timely topic. So I really look forward to bringing you our conversation. That'll be at the end of the show. Why shouting is so toxic. That's one of the things that really stuck with me that she talked about, not only in our homes, but to us physically, what it does to us, and how we can learn to let go a little. And so some really good takeaways that I think you're going to like. Also, when you look at the trending news stories, Fergie and the national anthem recently, and the school shootings, and a country in crisis in many ways, this never-ending news feed that cycles, one of the things that just kind of in some ways was a blip last week was that one of the greatest preachers of the last century, Billy Graham, has gone on to glory. And I think that we need to stop just for a minute and think about the priceless contribution that he made to the soul of our country. The Reverend Billy Graham and Pope John Paul II were friends. He called Holy Father a brother, like his brother. So we'll talk about a few things there, pay tribute to the great Reverend Billy Graham coming up on the show too. And a quick movie review, so let's jump on in.
Sitting in the darkness.
Okay, so first, a big thank you to Deanna. She took the time to write. Thank you so much, Deanna. And it's a great email. I'm just going to drop into the one portion about movies. And she said, Brooke, I felt called to reach out because she in the beginning says that she's been a podcast listener from the beginning. And I can't tell you what that means. That is the best to hear. So thank you for reaching out. And so she said, I felt called to reach out now because we recently watched the movie Molly with my girls. And that's a film I recently recommended. She said, thank you for suggesting that. We were all inspired. You've mentioned movies here and there over the years. And I wondered if you have a place where they're written down so you could share them. We read a lot as a family, but there is something that a well-done movie can do to move one to action that's very special. I agree. You're speaking my language totally, Deanna. And I actually did. I had to go back and look. I think it was last summer, but there was a similar request, an email that came in. And so I did a show. The title of that is Movies That Will Change Your Life. It's episode number 97. So if you look up on iTunes or on Podbean, any of the platforms that you listen to Good Things Radio, just go back, look for episode number 97. Again, it's called Movies That Will Change Your Life. And I think also in the show notes, I put the entire list. So you should be able to access that as well. And I have to amend that though, because I'm thinking even in the time since I did that show to now, there's more. There's more I want to add. I want to add Molly. There's one we watched a few weeks ago that is so good. I need to tell you about it. So I'm going to add that to the list right now because I keep thinking about it. It's called Teata. Do you know this movie? Have you heard of it? It's T-E, that's the first, and then A-T-A, Teata. It's a true story, and I'm going to read the description of this movie. It's one for the whole family, so this is another one to remember, Deanna. This is what it says. Based on the inspiring true story of Mary Thompson Fisher, a young woman who traversed cultural barriers to become one of the greatest Native American performers of all time. Born in Indian Territory, raised on the stories and songs of the Chickasaw tribe, Teyata's journey to find her true calling led her through isolation, discovery, love, and a stage career that culminated in performances for a United States president, Broadway, European royalty, and audiences across the world. Yet, of all the stories she shared, none are more inspiring than her own. So they take you into early to mid-1900s in Oklahoma, where things aren't perfect with the Native Americans. It's still messy. And there is one point, it's rated PG, but there's a death that happens. And for us, so my youngest is six, I had no problem with them seeing this because what emerged was a great conversation. And we've gone to powwows and we have a really good friend that's an adopted member of the Sioux tribe that we know very well. And so we've talked about the indigenous people before as our friends, history, what happened. So especially the older kids, they knew a little bit more. But when you go into a story of an individual life, a woman who did amazing things and kind of caught between these two eras and these two cultures, she had this great gift. And through that, you kind of see, I feel, as Christians, how we too can navigate and evangelize. She was an evangelist of her people and their stories. And so I wanted to play the trailer with you. Otherwise, I'm going to go for 20 minutes and talk about this movie. So it's hard because sometimes you're only getting clips. You're not seeing the visual. But now you know the basis of the story. So check it out. Here's the trailer.
Mr. Thompson, your daughter has a gift. She can open up the eyes of the world to the Chickasaw people. Simply by telling stories.
I am trying to help my people.
And we are trying to build a nation.
By all that is sacred, what do they want of us?
Not to exist.
So, Mary, when do you leave for college?
I prefer she stick around here. Nice and normal.
What could you show me that I haven't seen before? What can you offer?
Tell me she's coming home.
New York City.
I just landed a Broadway role.
Congratulations.
I want to focus on Broadway.
Maybe it's not about what you want to do. Maybe it's about what you were meant to do.
This is our home, and we don't have to wander anymore. Neither do you.
I have to go so that I can tell our stories.
The White House? President Roosevelt?
Don't you love the music? The music's really good. So that's the other part that really perked up the boys too. And we just had some great conversations. I would love to learn more about her life. This is one of those stories when it's over, you want it to keep going. You want to keep learning. It just whets your appetite. So thank you again to Deanna for the feedback. And again, the movie is Teyata. I'll link it up in the show notes, but we saw it streaming on Amazon, and I think it's like $4 or whatever to rent, but it's T-E-A-T-A, Teyata. Well, in more than 70 years, Billy Graham, who died, preached to nearly 215 million people around the world. I'm sure, though, that ripple effect, one person soul to soul, magnified and set on fire, has implications far beyond what we can even fathom. Dr. Billy Graham said that Pope John Paul II was the most influential voice for morality and peace in the world in the last 100 years and considered him like a brother. The USCCB offered words of consolation and issued a statement of condolence, saying this: "Today we pray for the soul of the Reverend Billy Graham to the Lord he so dearly loved and offer our condolences to his family. Billy Graham was a preacher of God's word, not only in his sermons, but also in the very life he lived. His faith, his integrity, invited countless thousands around the world into a closer relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for the ministry of Billy Graham." Amen.
When I began preaching many years ago, it was not with any thoughts that I'd be preaching to large audiences.
Come to the cross! His gospel is for everyone!
God has done this.
Christ is alive! In modern America today, there is a vacuum of the soul.
Our country's in great need of a spiritual awakening. Well, there have been times that I've wept as I've gone from city to city and I've seen how far people have wandered from God. Of all the things that I've seen and heard, there's only one message that can change people's lives and hearts.
There is a way if you come by the way of the cross.
I want to tell people about the meaning of the cross. Not the cross that hangs on a wall or around someone's neck.
We receive our freedom purchased by the ransom at the cross.
But the real cross of Christ.
The cross expresses the great love of God for man.
It's scarred and bloodstained. His was a rugged cross.
His real purpose for coming was to die.
I know that many will react to this message, but it is the truth. And with all my heart, I want to leave you with the truth.
God says, I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love.
That he loves you, willing to forgive you of all your sins.
In many ways, I feel like he is a spiritual father, modern day in some ways of our country, rare and wonderful, that represents a time of revival in our nation, one we need again. So together, may we lift him up in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God, our Father, your power brings us to life. Your providence guides our lives, and by your command, we return to dust. In company with Christ, who died and now lives, may your faithful servant rejoice in your kingdom this day, where all our tears will be wiped away. Unite us together in one family, Lord, as we sing your praises forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, over the weekend in the busyness, we had that Women's Day of Reflection on Saturday. Sunday, an exciting meeting with the pilgrims going to Italy, our pilgrimage coming up in April, and I can't wait. One of our travelers, it was really cute, he said, I'm going home, I'm packing, and I'm going to sit in the driveway, and I will just stay there until April 15th comes around, and boy, do I relate. So we're excited about that. But in the midst of all of that, also celebrating my mom's birthday, so happy birthday to Joan, my beautiful, radiant mother. And with all of those happenings, on Saturday night, we had a chance to celebrate the event Parents Rock. And if you've listened to the last two shows, you might know about this. The Catholic Identity Committee, Parents Rock, Raising Our Catholic Kids is what it stands for, bringing in speakers, talking about those who have raised their children, navigated this crazy culture, and somehow gotten to the other side with their sanity intact and their kids who still have a faith today. And it was awesome. Among our speakers was Melody Lyons. She's been at the Arise Retreat the last 2 years. She's a writer and a blogger, a speaker. Her husband, Chris, who is a fire chief and a theologian, they homeschool 8 kids and do an amazing job. And so that's what they shared, just techniques about transmitting the faith. And I wanted to bring you into that conversation and just a few words of wisdom from her that I think you'll enjoy. So we recorded a little segment over the weekend, and here it is. Check it out.
Welcome, Melody.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here.
You talked a little bit. You were our highlighted speaker, you and your husband, Chris, about what it is that you've done in raising your 8 kids and being very honest about some of the struggles that you have. And one thing that you said right out of the box that I wrote down and I was wondering if you would elaborate was how your husband and how all parents are kind of called to be that role of, you mentioned like in the confessional, like a priest. And I just thought that was so beautiful. Could you kind of elaborate a little bit?
It really struck me that the role of the priest, the image of the priest that I was seeing in my husband. You know, when I was playing frantic mother, just trying to fix everything, trying to make all the pieces fit, you know, and just kind of tearing out my hair with worry, with stress, with, you know, I was yelling a lot because I just felt like it was all kind of, all the pieces that I had so carefully planned out were just falling apart. And really it was just the autonomous expression of these young lives who were entrusted to my care. My husband, I would watch him and see something different happening, and that's that he would have the normal expression of frustrations with his children, and certainly not, you know, not always perfect, but he kind of had a priestly demeanor about him, and that when they would come to him with something big, or even if he discovered something about, you know, something wrong that they did, he really calmed himself. You could see him physically calm and hear it in his voice. He sort of, you know, took a step back, took a seat. You could see him doing it mentally. And his demeanor didn't really change. He would just listen to it and didn't seem to be shocked. And for me, I was always shocked. Like, oh, my little precious darlings, you're sinning, you know?
Well, no, but I think that's so true, because when we are in confession, it's funny to imagine if the priest would be like, what? You did what? Well, no, that would never happen. They don't ever flinch, whether you're face to face or you're behind the confessional. And so that is such a beautiful image. And I think you're right. As moms, we can be reactive because we can be emotional.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. But I loved your transparency, because you are a writer and have long inspired me in, whether I was homeschooling or not, the way you look at God's work in your children and in your life and on the hard days. You've been through some personal challenges lately. And how has that helped you grow in terms of your own faith?
One of the biggest lessons that I've had to learn over the last year has definitely been a surprise to me, and not something that I would have asked for or expected. And that has been the challenges with my health. And, you know, coming to a place where I realized that our physical and emotional and spiritual beings are just enmeshed. They're so enmeshed. And the mothering that I do with my children, you know, I'll just give you an example. If I'm yelling all day long, I'm raising the level of cortisol in my body. I'm triggering that fight or flight chemical reaction. I'm actually depressing my immune system. And so what happened for me when I hit this medical crisis, a health crisis, I realized that every time I raised my voice, I had another, a little like angel on my shoulder, so to speak. I already knew that I needed to settle down and just be a more peaceful mother, but I was also like, oh my goodness, you're going to kill yourself. Like, you're going to make yourself sick by doing this to your children, and it's hurting your children anyway. So I had this a pretty significant transformation.
So I am just curious, because you do have a large family, you do homeschool. Are your kids pretty obedient when you say to do something? Or, because it's easy to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to breathe deeply. I'm going to speak softly. I'm not going to yell. Yeah. And I often wonder, is it me? What am I doing? My kids just chew me up and spit me out. Mm-hmm. And I feel that respect is such a big thing. I talk about respect all the time, but I tell my kids, when you, in all honesty, again, I have boys, when you pee all over the toilet and you leave it for somebody else, or you leave it for me to clean up, it makes me feel like you don't love me. And I'm not trying to be dramatic, but again, it goes back to respect. And so how do you then make that shift? You say it mentally, but where you don't lose it, you don't lose your cool. Is there a technique or a prayer that you've implemented that's helped make that change?
It's funny. I'm still stuck on the peeing all over the toilet.
Sorry for that visual.
No, it really, I connected with that, but mostly because you said it, the way you feel, the way it makes you feel. And I do the same thing. And my husband's going, they're just kids.
Right.
You can't take it personally. And I think, so what I learned sort of in a physical way, like I almost learned it first physically, because I could feel my body getting upset. I could feel my stress levels rising. I had to learn to step away from the situation. One really important lesson that I learned was that I was reacting all the time, like you said, reactive.
Mm-hmm.
And I had taught my children how to push my buttons with my reactivity. And so when
that is so true.
When I started stepping away, you know, somebody would try to bait me. I just refused to engage. I just stepped back and just refused to engage. Just keep washing the dishes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody didn't ask me a question, like if they were just making a statement and they knew this is going to get her, you know, I'm going to have a battle now.
Yeah.
And I just didn't engage. And finally, one of my older children one day, after like 2 weeks of this, finally said, why aren't you answering me? I said, you didn't ask me a question.
That is great. Good. Very calmly. I noticed
very
how you
calmly.
Did that. You talked about our job is to hand over our children. And I don't think we hear that enough. That letting go is good too. You talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, and that's connected to what I was talking about, what you asked me earlier about my health journey and everything. Learning to really let go, not let go of the important things, not let go of the fight. I mean, I'm in it to win it. You know, I'm going to give my whole life for this, but, you know, what parts of my ego am I attaching? And that's really like the imagery that, well, I mentioned it in the talk, but one thing that comes up before me all the time is from the movie, The Passion of Christ. And of course, there's just a visual of Our Lady on the way of the cross, you know, just the whole way. It was this whole process of letting him go and just that grieving and that pain that she felt wasn't relieved. Not there.
Right, right.
Not there. But she didn't turn away. You know, she didn't take a break. You know, it was intense, but it was intense for the entirety of the journey.
And that was the other thing. Oh, man, if you put it in a book, and I hope you will or have, is your role in doula or midwife and the beautiful muscle of the uterus and how I want you just to maybe give the teaser of how when we are our natural instinct is to recoil against that pain. If we are in labor and we're suffering, we're like, I just want it to stop. I can't do this. You use those words. I can't do this. But the more we resist, the harder it is for our body. And so in order to bring new life, it has to happen.
Yeah, I didn't know how that would go over with a mixed audience.
Well, it was funny because this event was couples, and so there were a lot of men, and it was a couple minutes in, and you were talking about the uterus. Because you did such a masterful job, I think, of painting the picture. And men need to hear that. They need to be reminded.
They do. They do. Yeah, I'm just so, like, I'm so impressed. I'm impressed by God. I'm
just
so just in awe of the design of the human body and how God designed this function of childbirth, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was talking about how the uterus's function is so powerful, but it is also such a source of tremendous suffering. And so the real work of a doula or, you know, birth partner or whoever is to really to help the woman to embrace the suffering,
yes,
to be able to find the pain and sort of go, like it's often described as waves. You're trying
mm-hmm.
to, and our instinct with pain is to run away, to tense up. And that just inhibits the work of the uterus. It actually increases our pain and it slows down labor. And so it's just like our life, you know, we need to lean into the pain. That's the terminology that I love from the birthy stuff. And then, you know, also we talk about leaning into the cross of Christ.
I know we only have a few more minutes, but we have been so blessed to have you at our Arise retreat. And I know you're also on the community board of our Arise friends and sisters. And there's been so many heavy, speaking of that, and that Calvary, very big prayer requests. And we cover each other in prayer every day as a team. You've been through, as you mentioned, a lot of heavy stuff with your own health and some of a dark night of the soul in certain times. You were very honest, especially about your teenage years and some of the struggles that you had that I know a lot of parents can relate to, and we know a lot of teens right now can relate to. For someone who's in that place right now, do you have any books or prayers that you could recommend that help turn it around for you or that still do?
you know, there are a whole, there's a whole tapestry that God has woven through my life, and so that's kind of a big question. But I have to say that as far as prayers, I just want to encourage the holy name of Jesus. You know, we need to reclaim it. And as Peter Kreft in his book on prayer, I don't remember exactly how he writes it, but I was so, it just made an impression on me about the holy name of Jesus. Like, the name isn't just this lucky talisman, you know, mm-hmm. it's not just like the good luck charm, and it's mm-hmm. not just a prayer. But when we say the name of Jesus, we are inviting him into our presence. We are inviting his very presence. And so when your soul is just so oppressed and the darkness just seems so heavy and you really just don't feel able to even utter a prayer coherently, and there's just this threat of hopelessness, the holy name of Jesus, I mean, that's really my number one.
And Jesus, I trust in you. Yes. Abba, Father, all the yes. different ways that he comes to us in the beautiful name of our champion, our friend, our beloved. As we conclude, how can we find you and connect with you?
Well, you can find me at my website, which is theessentialmother.com, and related social media outlets that
I'm... The Essential Mother.
The Essential Mother.
And that really is a play on the doTERRA oils, right? And the essential oils.
Yes. And I'm, you know, now have my certification as an aromatherapist, which is really fun. But it also is an allusion to Blessed Mother and just to the beautiful role that the mother, women... You know, we are all mothers, even if we're not biologically connected to children. You know, that motherhood that just blesses the world. And so it does mean so much more to me.
Well, you bless us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Man, wow. Thank you again to Melody Lyons. The Essential Mother is how you can find Melody again on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, online. And fantastic things to think about. Great parental insights. A lot of meat on today's show. Some good stuff to think about, I think. And after Saturday night, my husband Jim and I were fired up listening to Melody and her husband Chris, Bobby Bankovich. Also, she's been on the show before. She spoke. And so we implemented, as we were driving home Saturday night, processing everything we had just heard, and then decided, you know, we're going to fast. No devices, no screens of any kind on Sundays. I try sometimes to record the show on Sundays. Nope. Only family, because isn't there a million and one excuses of why we just need to check this out, why we need to see what the weather's going to be, why we need to go and look online or check this email. But on the Sabbath, on Sunday, in our conversation, we were just saying there's no reason why one day out of the entire week, we can't just come together as a family, shut everything else out, and really observe it as the Sabbath. So we did. And now, granted, it's been one day. It's been one Sunday. But it was the best day that we've had as a family in a really long time. So I pray there are some useful nuggets in there for you as well. Thank you again for listening to today's show. Ohio friends, this weekend, my husband Jim and I are looking forward to speaking at the Marriages of Grace Conference on Saturday. It's in Independence, Ohio. It will be at the Doubletree March 3rd. It is a day of talks, holy mass, breakout sessions, confession, a candlelight dinner. Father Patrick Schultz will be there. The theme is Pursuing Your Spouse in Marriage, a Labor of Love. I love that theme. We're going to have some fun with that theme. And if you're not already registered, you're in the area and you could use a little marriage boost, check it out. You can find out more at marriagesofgrace.org. And of course, gratefully, humbly begging for your prayers as well as we prepare for this. And I'm counting the days, of course, to the Arise Retreat. We are almost at the 1 month mark. And I mean, even just saying that, my heart is going pitter patter. I can't believe it's going to be here so soon. I've been having some covert conversations with Father Nathan about the themes that we're going to weave into the weekend. One of our first time Arise attendees, Louise, made beautiful personalized bookmarks. Beaded bookmarks for everyone. Lisa Daly making customized rosaries for everyone. That's just a few because I don't want to give away all the surprises. And I think the neatest thing, again, is we're excited by what we don't know. And that sense of anticipation, that can almost be just as great as the actual getaway. So just continued prayers for every woman. We're excited about it. And prayers for you as you continue your Lenten journey and lift up your needs to the Lord hour by hour, day by day. Thank you, as always, to our Podbean patrons, our faithful supporters of the program. We pray for you every day, and without you, we wouldn't be here. You can find out more if you'd like to be a GTR good friend of the show on our podcast. I'll link that up in the notes. A big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire, so to find out more, visit him at cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you and keep you, and in the words of the Reverend Dr. Billy Graham, learn to keep close to Jesus, to listen to his voice, and to follow him. God bless you, friends. Until next time.